稣将大使命颁布给我们，要我们使人做主的门徒。今日我们不必踌躇，这里有主的中仆，教导你我规划服事、牧养、训练、拆船与职堂的蓝图。让我们透过这两课中，经历从天上来的赐福。欢迎收听晨曦讲座。
芳华向神的仆人问安，欢迎来到晨曦讲座。今天开始的新栏目，曾金发牧师的传承跨代的危机与转机，为中英讲道。曾牧师观察到世界各地教会普遍面临的挑战，核心问题是信徒缺乏门徒训练，因此他强调门徒训练的重要性。之后他会引用诗篇73篇，借由诗人的挣扎与领悟，说明在顺境与逆境中持守对神的信心。以下我们一块儿来听。
世代更替的速度越来越快，面对教会、家庭、组织，上一代与下一代的传承浪潮一波波涌来，什么该留，什么该舍，邀请您一起来寻找定准之锚，勇度跨代挑战。欢迎收听传承跨代的危机与转机。
In 1993-94, I was given a year sabbatical.
1993年，我拿了一个安息年。
So I went to Trinity and audited my studies, my courses.
当时我就到美国三一神学院，然后我一边旁听也一边写作。
But somebody must be a student, so my wife became a student.
但是因为我们去那个学校呢，总要有人是去当学生的，所以我决定我太太去当学生。
So my wife told me I can do the master's 2 years program in 9 months.
然后所以她说我可以把这个两年的硕士课程在9个月当中把它完成。
So I told my wife it's not easy to do, it cannot be done.
我说9个月太快了，很难呢。
She said I can, and she finished it in 9 months and graduated with honors.
然后她真的也做到了，九个月就拿到了这个硕士。
That's keeping our dating every Friday night.
然后我们保留每个礼拜五还有约会的时间。
While we were students at Trinity.
然后就是我们还在这个三一的时候。
She mentored 2 students on staff, on the campus.
然后她每礼拜五的时候她也辅导一些学生。
And she taught a Sunday school class, regularly in an American church.
然后还在一个美国的教会固定教主日学。
So 10 years later, in 2003-2004, I was having my next sabbatical.
那过了将近十年，我又有一次2004的时候又有一次的安息年。
Because she has already finished her studies, her master's, now it's my turn to study.
所以这个第二次是我来完成学位，因为她十年前已经完成了。
We also have only a year, and she said, you can finish it in 9 months.
然后我们又再一次复制这个9个月把它完成。
So that's the story how we finish our studies in 9 months.
所以后来这个故事就这样流传，我说9个月里面完成硕士学位。
The Lord brought me to a church called Covenant in Singapore, and I have a joy of pastoring the church for about 37 years now.
然后我们就一起牧养这个在新加坡的那个播道会前后大概有37年。
And I have learned the importance of discipleship in building the health of the church.
我的经验告诉我，门训在这个教会的健康的这件事情上有多么重要的这个角色。
And over the course of these years, my wife and I have visited over 100 cities.
那么就在我们牧会的那几年，我们大概也去了世界各地，大概访问了100多个城市。
And I have learned there are 5 questions or 5 cries of the church in different cities around the world.
然后我就发现这些旅行这么多城市，每一个城市他们都在讲很迫切的需要门训的这样的教导。
Whether the church is in Russia or Africa or America, same problems.
不管这个教会是在俄罗斯、是在非洲还是在美国，都是一样的问题。
Whether the church is in Europe or Asia, same problems.
不管是在欧洲、在亚洲，一样的问题。
The first cry of the church are too many programs.
就是这个问题，就是太多的节目。
The second cry, too few volunteers.
然后就那些自愿出来服事的人太少。
If you have too many programs and too few volunteers, you have a problem.
Yeah, 因为你的节目那么多，然后那些自愿出来帮忙的又很少，那就很大的问题。
The third cry, the leadership direction is not clear.
另外呢，就是整个这个领导层他们的方向是不清楚的。
The fourth cry, in many churches, the leaders are not united.
另外第四个呢，就是教会里面说他们的这个领导层他们的同工群不合一。
But the greatest cry of the Church of Jesus Christ, the members are not discipled.
那最严重的问题就是他们的这个会友并没有被好好的门训。
There is an extended spiritual infancy in the life of many Christians in the church.
所以整个教会里面就坐满了这些属灵的婴孩。
And that is why passing it on, discipling is so important.
然后所以我在后来的我的余生就不断地强调门训的重要。
We must get back to basics.
我们需要回到那些基本功。
There are four convictions that we must understand.
有四个方面，四个确信我们需要把握的。
If you forget everything I'm sharing with you the next few days, remember four important things.
如果你忘记我其他所讲的这四点，你绝对要记住。
The first very important thing, Jesus Christ is coming again soon.
第一个就是耶稣很快就再回来。
There must be a sense of urgency, intentionality.
然后所以需要有一种迫切感，还有一个刻意要把它集中力量去办大事。
The second conviction is because Jesus Christ is coming again soon, the urgent task is world evangelization.
那因为主耶稣快再来，所以第一个迫切的事情就是要传福音直到地极。
Our God is a universal God.
因为我们的上帝是一个全球，是一个宇宙性的上帝。
Nothing less than a global vision is worthy of a global God.
那么对于这样的一个全球的主，全球的意象只不过是刚好而已。
Our God is not a local deity. He's the God of the universe who have a heart for the people.
因为我们的神不是一个地方性的神祇，他是一个全地的主。
That's why global missions is so important. Jesus is coming again soon.
因为所以普世宣教就变得非常的迫切而重要，因为他快再来。
The third conviction, the key to world evangelization is disciple making.
那么在接下来就是这个布道以后，接下来就是那个门训要做得彻底。
This is the strategy Jesus gave to his disciples. Go make disciples.
你看耶稣给他的门徒的策略就是这样，去使万民做我的门徒。
The key is not to go and make converts. The key is to multiply disciples.
所以那个重点不在于说去传扬福音而已，或者使人改教。而是使他们确确实实的做主的门徒，而且能够倍增。
The fourth conviction is that the heart of disciple making is a radical discipleship to Jesus.
然后这种的门训要求的是一种我们说是一种激进的门徒训练。
So the fourth conviction begin with Jesus and ends with Jesus.
那第四个重点，那个激进的门徒，它其实是来自耶稣，也终结在耶稣。
We must be convicted Jesus is coming again soon.
因为我们需要跟一样的迫切感，就是耶稣再来的日子很近了。
Go fulfill the great commission by making disciples.
然后要去完成大使命，然后借着使人做主的门徒。
Because multiplying disciples is the strategy Jesus have given. Pass it on.
因为这个倍增门徒就是耶稣的策略，所以一定要把这样的一个策略继续的传承下去。
And the whole focus of discipleship is Jesus.
然后这个整个门训的核心也是聚焦在耶稣。
We follow him.
因为我们 跟随他。
We pass on the things he teaches us.
然后我们把他所教导我们的，我们也把它传承下去。
That is why the theme pass on is so important.
那所以 pass it on, 把它传承下去，交棒，这个很重要。
And over the next 3 days, I'm going to look at different passages of scripture in terms of some of the key foundational truths to pass on.
那我接下来都会聚焦在那些重要的原则啊，就是怎么样继续把它传承的这个原则。
Today I want to share with you on passing on a sense of destiny.
第一个，我们就说要传承下去的，就是那种使命感，或者是那个命定。
That we really have a spiritual life and a spiritual anchor in God.
我们以至于我们在上帝里面，我们有一个这个属灵的生命是。扎根或是我们的锚是抛在基督里面的。
You see, it's easy to talk about discipleship in good times, but discipleship must also be relevant in bad times.
在太平的时候做门训听起来很容易，但是同样做门徒也需要在艰难的时候。
Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 73.
我们来看一下诗篇第七十三篇。
And as if the spiritual leader was going through a tough time.
那么作为这个属灵的领导他们也曾经经历过很困难的这个时间。
And the composer Asaph shares the difficult times that he had.
那诗篇七十三篇是亚萨的诗篇，它里面讲到他所经历的那个困难的时光。
We begin with verse 1 to verse 2. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped.
他说神实在恩待以色列那些清心的人，至于我，我的脚几乎失散，我的脚险些滑跌。
Father, right now, open our eyes to behold wonderful truth out of your word.
主啊，我们来到你面前，我们打开了你的话。
Help us to be hearers of your word and not doers only. Or not hearers only, but doers also.
求主让我们不单只是听到，而且是可以行道。
We thank you in Jesus' name.
我们奉耶稣基督名献上我们的祷告。
Amen.
Amen.
A story was told of a man called James Humes.
有一个人名字叫做 James Humes.
He was the presidential speechwriter for 3 U.S. presidents.
他的工作呢，曾经就是为三任的这个美国总统来写他的演讲稿。
He told of a time he was studying in Moore College.
他在大学的时候。
And in that college, all the students, many of them enrolled in a course taught by a retired Episcopalian priest.
当时呢，这门课呢，他们修了一门课，这门课呢，有很多的学生去修，然后这个是一个退休的教授所教的。
It was not because the professor was engaging or brilliant, it was because every final exam, he asked the same question.
这个教授的特色呢，就是重点不在于他是怎么教或是他的内容，而是他每一个学期末，他的期末考题目都一样。
So the students every year prepare for the question, tell me about the travels of the Apostle Paul.
他的题目就是你告诉我保罗的这个宣教旅程。
Except the year that James Humes enrolled for the class, the professor changed the question.
但是有一年呢，他把多年来一样的这个题目呢改了。
Now it's not tell me about the travels of the Apostle Paul, now it's tell me about the Sermon on the Mount and critique it.
但这一次呢，他不再是问保罗的宣教旅程，这次是问登山宝训的内容，然后请你去做出你的批判。
Of course, the students didn't prepare, and many of them did badly.
那当然，因为学生们就通通都没有准备，然后就考得很糟糕。
Except for one student, he's not very bright, but he scored an A.
那但是其中有一个平常看起来不怎么起眼的学生。他却得到了 A.
So James and other students went to him and said, How come you could score an A? You must know the Sermon on the Mount.
所以大家就很好奇啊，他说你怎么能够拿到 A 啊？你一定对这个登山宝训很有研究吧。
He said, No, I don't know anything about the Sermon on the Mount.
但是他说其实我一点都不知道，我不知道那个登山宝训在讲什么。
Then they asked him, How did you score an A?
那你到底是怎么拿 A 的？
Say, I wrote, Oh, who am I to critique the sermon of my master?
Okay, 他的回答很简单，他说他的答案就是说，我是谁啊？我怎么能够去 批判我的主呢？
And then he say, let me tell you all about the travels of the Apostle Paul.
然后呢，他就继续写他，我只能够告诉你这个关于保罗的行程。
And he scored an A.
结果他就拿到了 A.
He gave a pat answer, a ready answer.
他的答案他早就预备好了，只是他加上了一句。
But life is not so simple.
但是弟兄姊妹，其实生命不是这么简单的。
There are problems in life we cannot just give a simple pat answer to.
因为我们的人生会遇到一些的问题，你不能够就是背答案就把它填上去。
There are difficulties in life or confusions in life we cannot just give a rhetorical simple answer to.
因为我们的人生会遇到一些很困难的问题，不是你背答案就能够解决的。
Asep discovered this. He discovered his religious cliche doesn't work.
像这个诗篇里面，亚撒就发现这些宗教上面的这些陈腔滥调是没有办法解决他当下的问题的。
And so in the first three verses, he gives us a very intriguing introduction to this great psalm.
那所以就在头三节，他就给了我们非常的引人入胜的一个开场。
Verse 1 says, surely God is good. Verse 2 says, but as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. I nearly backslided.
因为这里讲到说上帝真的很好，他一直都非常的恩待以色列人。然后第二节就说，但是至于我。
Now, the words, but as for me, is a contrast.
那至于我就是一个相当强的对比。
But we must ask, what exactly is Asep contrasting?
那我们要问的是亚撒他到底在到这个对比，这个强烈的对比到底是怎么发生的？
There are three possibilities. The first is contrasting God and himself.
那第一个对比就是神跟我之间的对比。
Surely God is good, but as for me, I'm not good.
当然上帝是好，很好，但是我不太好。
Or the second possibility, he was contrasting the pure in heart with himself. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but as for me, I'm not pure in heart.
那另外一个对比就是清心这样的概念。上帝是一个清心的神，但是我不是一个清心的人。
These are possible, but I believe there's a third possibility.
那这些都有可能，你从字面去观察，但是还有第三个可能。
He was contrasting a religious cliche with his personal experience.
他就是把那些他常常听到那个宗教的那些陈腔滥调，跟他自己亲身的经验当中的那个对比。
So in verse 1, he started with a religious cliche. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, and every pious Jew will say amen to that.
第一节其实就是标准的犹太人的这些陈腔滥调，他说神实在恩待以色列那些清心的人，那所有敬虔的犹太人一定会说阿们。
But now he contrasts that religious cliche with his personal experience. He said, but as for me, in my personal experience, this is not so.
那第二节就是一个强烈的对比，但是不同于那些宗教的陈腔滥调，我的脚显几乎失闪，我的脚险些滑跌。
At the end of the psalm, in verse 28, he comes to the same statement. He said, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. Verse 28.
然后28节，他讲到说，但我亲近神是与我有益。
So now he contrasts a cliche with his personal experience, and he explains why he feels like that.
那整个诗篇他在比较那些宗教的陈腔滥调，还有他个人亲身的经验。然后最后28节做出了他的结论。
In verse 3, he gives the reason. He says, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The word for is a reason.
那第三节其实是在讲原因。他说，我见恶人和狂傲人享平安，就心怀不平。
So now from verse 4 to verse 12, he tells us three things about the wicked.
那第四到第六节就讲到那些恶人，那些恶人到底做了些什么。
The first thing he tells us is that they are prosperous in verse 4, for there's no pains in their death, their body is fat.
那第四节就是说，这些恶人好像都很亨通，他们死的时候没有疼痛，他们的力气却也壮实。
Their body is fat is a Middle Eastern idiom for prosperity. It can be interpreted energy or it can be interpreted prosperity.
当然他说这些力气也壮实，另外一个翻译或者说诠释也可以说他的家道很丰富。
I am a Teochew, and in Teochew we have a statement, 金杯金布, which means very fat, very prosperous.
我是潮州人，所以有一句话，他说我金金补一个金布，我很肥又很富有。
And so the first thing about the wicked, they are prosperous.
这两个词其实都在讲，它是一个非常一个成功的非常丰盛的这种神学。
The second thing about wicked is that they are proud. Verse 6, for pride is their necklace.
那 第六节是讲到骄傲。
And the third thing about wicked, verse 8, they mock and speak wickedly of oppression. They speak from on high. They are powerful.
第八节讲说他们讥笑人，凭恶意说欺压人的话，他们说话自高。
So now as he saw the wicked,They are prosperous, they are proud, and they are powerful. Esau struggled with them.
所以他现在看到这些恶人，他们又成功又富有，然后又有权势，他心中就很多的不平。
Why do the wicked prosper?
那为什么这个恶人就会这么亨通呢？
If God is good, why does this happen?
如果上帝存在，为什么这些事情会这样发生？
So now, in verse 13 to verse 16, he shares two inner struggles he had.
然后从13节以后，他又讲到了这个他内心的感受。
The first struggle he had is he said, I give up, but I cannot give up. We find that in verse 13 to 15.
从13节但到15节，他很想放弃，可是又觉得内心又觉得不应该放弃。
So the way Esau said is, verse 13, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. In other words, what's the use of being holy?
像13节他就一直讲，我实在突然，就是有什么用呢？我这样子敬虔有什么用呢？
So it means I give up.
所以我放弃算了。
But yet he says, I cannot give up. He says in verse 15, if I said I will speak thus, behold, I will betray the generation of your children.
然后15节他又内心又觉得我不应该放弃，所以说，可是我若说我要这样讲，那就是以奸恶待你的众子。
Meaning, I am the spiritual Israel, a leader in Israel, I'm the psalmist. I cannot just give up.
因为我是以色列的当官长，然后我又是师班的这个指挥，或是师班的这个班长，我怎么能够这样轻易的就放弃呢？
There's a story told one morning about a mother and a son having a conversation in the kitchen.
有一天呢，有一个故事就讲到说，有一对母子他们在厨房里面有一段对话。
The son say, "I don't want to go to school, mommy." And the mother says, "You must go to school."
那个小孩说，妈，我今天不想去学校。妈就说，你今天你非得去不可。
The son said, I don't want to go to school.
儿子又说，我不想上学。
The teacher don't like me, the students don't like me.
老师也不喜欢我，同学也不喜欢我。
And the mother said to the son, you must go to school.
但是妈妈更严肃地说，你必须去学校。
You are the principal.
因为你是校长。
The psalmist said, I cannot give up because I am the principal of the psalmist, the chief of the musicians.
所以这个诗人其实他就像那个校长，他很想放弃，可是他 又不能放弃，因为他就是诗班的指挥，诗班的班长。
So I want to give up, but I cannot because I have this responsibility.
我很想放弃，可是我又有责任在身。
Then his second struggle, therefore I try to understand, but I cannot understand.
然后他退而求其次，他就想要搞清楚为什么人生会是这样，可是他又搞不清楚。
So he says in verse 16, when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight.
那十六节就是我思索怎能明白这事，眼看实系为难。
There was no answer.
没有答案。
Until verse 17, he says, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived the end.
17节说，等我进了神的圣所， 思想他们的结局。
So verse 17 is the pivotal point that turns the entire psalm.
所以我们说17节就是那个关键的转折点。
Now as a pastor, I'm concerned that my congregation learned to read the Bible as a big picture.
作为一个主任牧师，我希望我的会友都能够了解全本的圣经，知道这个整个的图像。
So I tell my congregation, when you study like the psalm, don't look at a verse here, a verse there. See the whole composition, the idea that flows.
所以即使一篇诗篇也一样，不要就只挑几节金句来背，你要了解整篇诗篇它的结构。
So before we move on from verse 17 onwards, let me go back to show you how the psalm unfolded since verse 1.
然后所以你如果用我刚刚讲的这个 方式去看它的整个的结构全貌，然后你就会看到它从17节转折以后又回到28节，就像回到第一节一样。
So let's get the big picture together.
所以我们就一起来看这个完整的图像。
Verse 1 to 3, the psalmist begin with an intriguing introduction.
1到3节它是一个非常引人入胜的一个开端。
He says, let me begin with a religious cliche that all of you pious Jews will say an amen to. Verse 1, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, amen.
对，他就一开始他就是讲那些宗教上面的这个陈腔滥调，然后说啊，神都是恩待以色列那些清心的人，所有的这些犹太人信徒都会说阿们的。
Then he shocked his hearers by verse 2 where he says, in my personal experience, this is not so. I almost backslided.
那第二节他就马上切换到 我个人的实际的经验。他说其实根本就不是这样。
So now they're thinking, why would the great psalmist accept backslide? What causes it?
然后你接下来你就很想要问，为什么这样这个诗班的班长怎么会这样信仰倒退，然后甚至 要流失的样子呢？
So verse 3, he gives the answer, he says the reason, he says, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
所以第三节就开始他就说我见恶人狂傲，这个跟狂傲人享平安，他们很亨通，他们很富有，他就心怀不平。
So now the hearers are thinking, what do you see about the wicked? And from verse 4 to verse 12, he says, I see three things. They are prosperous, they are proud, and they are powerful.
好，那么接下来 那一段的圣经他就讲到说，他说我所看到的那些恶人，他们有三样事情，他们又有权又有势然后又有钱。
So that's verse 4 to verse 12.
So 就从第四节到第十二节。
In verse 13 to verse 16 he shares two inner struggles as a response.
然后从13到16节讲到两个内心的挣扎。
In verse 13 to 15 he says I give up or I feel like giving up but I cannot give up.
接下来他讲到说我很想放弃，可是我又职责所在，我又不能放弃。
So that's verse 13 to verse 15.
所以这个13节到15节。
Now in verse 16 he shares a second struggle. I try to understand but I cannot understand.
那16节就讲到说他我很想要明白，可是我又找不到答案。
Can you feel the tension the psalmist is in?
所以你现在可以感受到那个诗人内心的那种张力，那种冲突了吗？
And there's no answer.
没有答案。
Until he says, I come into the sanctuary of God.
等到我进了神的圣所，我才找到答案。
这个答案我们将在下周三揭晓。您收听的节目是晨曦讲座，我是芳华。节目就为您进行到这儿，愿神赐您平安喜乐。下回再会。
愿你荣耀国度降临我们中间，圣灵降下焚烧众人心灵，复兴我们为失丧灵魂代求，悔改你宝座前。